Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
One of the things we were talking about is the fact that the Bible tells us, this is a quick recap, who you were and who you are after receiving Christ Jesus. And then the key to living this life is beginning to, what the Bible says, put off the old man, put on the new. So let me just look at that scripture one more time, Ephesians 4 chapter. Well, Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. This is the church that Timothy is the pastor of. He said, that's not the way you learn Christ. Assuming that you've heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. I've often said that coming to Christ is easy. Living for him is not. Whoever said that Christianity is for weak people is wrong. It takes strength to live this life. And part of the challenge is we're having to put off the old and be renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on the new. But how do we do that? And so I want to talk about, and I started it last week, but I want to talk about how you do that. Because it's not like clothes. You can take off a shirt and put on another shirt. But it says, how do I put off the old and put on the new? And there's a key. It's part of renewing the mind, and it has a lot to do with our words. There's a link here that oftentimes people have missed it. And what we're finding more and more is there's a powerful link between your words and putting on the new self. And being a quiet Christian is not what you want to be. You actually want to be a talking Christian. Amen. So does that mean I'm kind of a quiet personality? I'm not real bold. I'm not saying you have to change your personality, but I am saying that your words do need to change. John the Baptist. We talked about him again. I'm gonna go over that again because John the Baptist gave us some good insight. His ministry had taken off, and they all wanted to know who he was. You have to understand, nothing had happened in Israel for hundreds of years. And John the Baptist shows up, and there's a revival going on. So they sent to John, they said, who are you? And so in the scripture it says, this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. They asked him, what are then? Are you Elijah? He said, I'm not. And he said, are you the prophet? He said, no. He said, well, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And he said, I'm the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. They asked John, who are you, John? And he said, are you the Christ? He went, no, I'm not. He said, are you the prophet? No, I'm not. John also knew who he was not. It's good to know what you're not. And they said, well, then who are you? And he said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Actually, he's quoting Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. John had found himself in the scriptures and found his assignment. And John said, this is who I am. And so John is giving them a scripture about who he is. You say, well, that's great if you're John the Baptist. I'm not John the Baptist. No, you're not. Neither am I. Yet the principle is still the same. Finding out in the scriptures who God says you are and then saying that same thing. Because what happens is a lot of times we keep identifying with the wrong things. We keep talking about the wrong things. Now I'm going to give you a whole list of the wrong things you don't want to talk about. In 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing to the church. You have to understand, church at Corinth was a wild and woolly church. Corinth was like a Las Vegas of its day. Man, they had all kinds of temple prostitution and, boy, you name it. People think, oh, things have gotten bad now. You should have seen it then. It was horrible. And so these believers are coming out of that lifestyle. And so Paul writes to him, he said, this is what you were. He said, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. And he said, here's your list. Neither the sexually immoral, nor the idolaters, people who worship idols, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Were. Catch that were? But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. He's saying this is what you were. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands of people who made that list. But I bet there's a lot of us that did make that list. See, it bothers people sometimes when the pastor said, oh, yeah, chase women, party, smoke weed, I did it all. People are like, and that bothers you, doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me because that's what I was, and I don't identify with that. I'm grateful he did not mention driving too fast. Because I'm still renewing my mind to that. But he's talking about what you were. Now, here's the challenge. I don't talk about what I was all the time. I will do it for your benefit, but I'm not talking about that all the time. I'm not talking about, yeah. In fact, sometimes when I hear people talking about their testimony about what they were, it sounds like they're bragging. I smoked a lot of weed, drank a lot of liquor. Well, who cares? That's what you were. You don't want to keep talking about what you were. What you want to begin to do is identify with what you are now. And this is what Paul said. This is what you were. Man, this was, like I said, this was a wild town. These people were coming out. They weren't coming out of the Presbyterian church and the Baptist church and coming into. They were coming out of just pagan life. And they were coming in, and Paul's saying, hey, guys, you need to start identifying with what you were. Now, here's where the challenge is. When we look at what the Bible just said about who we are now, a lot of times we don't like to agree with that. We are washed. That means we've been made clean. That means no matter what you were in the past, you've been washed from it and you were clean and you can stand before God just as much as I can stand before God or Joy can stand before God or anybody you know, because it's not the pastor position that gives me a place with Christ. It is His blood and what He's done. And so if we don't, so people say, oh man, I know people, they'll let anybody in the ark. That's exactly right.
That's right.
We will let anybody in the ark because there's a lot of us that remember what we were, and if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, we wouldn't be where we are now. And so we're people that unabashedly say, we've been washed, we've been cleansed. We have been, now here's a good word for you. We don't talk about this, but we've been sanctified. Yes. Now some of you Pentecostal people know exactly what I'm talking about. I've been sanctified. What does that mean? It's a fancy word for being set apart. You've been set apart for God. I don't live the way I used to live because I've been changed. I've been set apart for God. He did that work for me, and He's justified me. Now, what's that mean? I like what a guy said one time. He said, justified means justified, never done it. Justified means made right with God like I'd never, ever sinned. Justified. But here's the key. That is what we need to begin to talk about. That's what we need to begin to say. And what we have to do is get the old language out of our mouth and get the new language in our mouth. And if someone says, hey, what do you say about yourself? One of the things we can say is, thank God, I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I've been washed by the blood. I am sanctified and set apart from God. I am blessed and I am not cursed. In fact, I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm forgiven. I am chosen. I have been redeemed from curse of the law. It's like, well, Alan, how can you say all that? because I'm only saying what the scriptures have said. Now, you say, well, you say that because you're a preacher and you're supposed to preach this stuff. I say that because one of the keys to begin, remember we talked about putting off the old man, putting on the new. We need to identify and talk like a new person. And I'll give you the scripture for that. This one you'll know. Romans 10th chapter, verses 6 through 10. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend in the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Yes, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. How many of you know that? You've heard that verse before. Yes. How many of you know that what we do at the end of every service is we do what? We pray out loud. And I ask people to pray out loud. I even ask people if you're online, if you're by yourself, to pray out loud. What am I asking people to do? To believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. To confess him as your Lord. Yes. It's heart and mouth. Heart and mouth. We did that to receive salvation. How many of you can honestly say, Alan, at some point in time in my life, I prayed the prayer of salvation and the Lord saved me. I'm saved. I know. But you did something. You believed. I said it last time. If someone came to me at the end of a service and said, man, I really want to be saved. I said, man, that's so simple. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Yeah. And they go, Do you believe that God raised him from the dead? And they're looking at me. I said, pray with me. And if I catch their hands and I'm praying and they're not, I'm going to look at them and go, I'm going to need you to pray. Joy's stepdad, good man, blessing in her life. For years, Joy would say, Dad, you need to receive the Lord. And he'd say, Joy, that's okay. That's your thing. That's okay. He came down with cancer and he was dying. And Joy was sick. Oh, gosh, she was sick at the time. And she had a moment. He was staying in our house, and she had a moment with him. And she said, Dad, you need Jesus in your heart. Pray with me. And he said to her, you pray for me, Joy. And she said, no, Dad, you pray. And he said, just this once. That's, if someone says just this once, all you have to do is go, that's okay, because that's all you need. And he prayed and prayed that prayer and confessed Jesus as his Lord. He died about 3 weeks later. And the priest who came and did the last rites for him said it's one of the most peaceful things. I want to tell you something. When you receive Christ, there is something that takes place on the inside of you that you can't buy and you can't purchase, and it's real. And when we hit things like the end of our lives, that's the thing that matters most. With our heart, with our mouth. The word is near you. But to be near you, it's got to be two places. In your heart and in your mouth. The Lord spoke something to me as I was studying this. I never thought, I wrote it down and thought, this is good. If you want it in your life, you need to get it in your mouth. If you want it in your life, you need to get it in your mouth. What do you mean get it? Well, 1 Peter 2:24 says, who himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, a lot of times, because we believe in healing, a lot of us have really keyed in on that, by his stripes we were healed. That verse has helped my family out through a lot of stuff and helped us over a lot of different things. But I'm going to tell you something. My wife would get up in the morning when she was so sick, and she had verses that she would read out loud. I mean, she was speaking. She had a whole list of verses that she read out loud. Why? Heart, mouth. With the heart, man believes. With the mouth, confession is made to salvation. What happened is a lot of times we read it, we'll think about it, but it never gets in our mouth. Because when we begin to say it, it sounds awkward. I did something one time. I'm going to try it again. Let's see how this works. Ready? This is audience participation. Okay. How many of you can honestly say that you have been born again, you're a new creation in Christ? Okay, hands down. How many of you can say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ? It's not bad. Less, but not bad. How about this one? How many of you are dead to sin? Ooh, and the hands went down. Did you catch that? And yet the Bible said, Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. And by whose stripes you were healed. Say, here's the deal. We've said for a long time, I'm saved, I'm a new creation. We say that every week. We know we are new creations in Christ. What we need to know is we are also dead to sin. And what would help you, instead of saying over and over and over again, I just can't deal with this. I can't get over this. I'm just bound by this. That's talking like the old man. You are a new creation in Christ. You have been made dead to sin through Christ. So you need to begin to say, thank you, Lord. I am dead to sin. I am dead to sin. I am dead to sin. Well, say, well, Alan, I just keep messing up. How can I say I'm dead to sin? This is what we say. This is called living by faith. We don't wait till we're just completely free to go, hey, I'm free from sin. We begin to say it before we see it. You confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior before you felt anything or saw anything. But when you made that confession, there was a change that took place in your life. And the more you talked about it, the more real it became to you. If you want it in your life, you got to get it in your mouth. You go to the Scriptures and you begin to say, thank you, Lord, I am dead to sin. What addictions, people like, I'm just addicted. You have established that in your life. Why don't we establish something new? A friend of mine, Keith Moore, we had him come in he's come for years. He said he had a guy come to him one time who, I'm not going to get through my notes. It's story time. You ready? Okay. Had a guy came to me one time. He said, Keith, man, I smoke cigarettes. I don't want to smoke cigarettes. He said, I want to get free from cigarettes. He said, I just want to be free from cigarettes. He said, I want to be free. He said, but I can't get free. I'm addicted to nicotine. Keith said, you do what I tell you to do. He said, don't ask me to throw my cigarettes away. He said, I've thrown more cigarettes away than I can count. I drive back and pick them up out of the ditch. I have thrown cigarettes away. Look straight ahead if I'm talking to you. Just look straight ahead. He said, I just want to get there. And by the way, listen, if you smoke, smoking will not send you to hell. Did you hear me?
Amen.
You may get there quicker than the rest of us to make it there. Smoking will not send you to hell. That's something you do to your body. Your heart can change.
Amen.
Come on, y'all. Y'all know this. But if you want to get free from it, it's a good thing to get free from.
Amen.
It's an expensive, stinky habit. And so he said, Keith, don't ask me to throw away my cigarettes. He said, no, will you do what I tell you to do? He said, yeah, I will. He said, every time you take a puff, he said, I want you to say, thank God I'm free from cigarettes. He said, but I'm smoking. He said, I know you're smoking. He said, but just go ahead and say it. Because the Bible said that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's Romans 8. Is it Romans 8, 2 or 8, 1? So he's saying, hey, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Are we believers? Yes. Law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. He said, will you just do what I tell you to do? He said, okay. He came back about 2 weeks later. And Keith said, as soon as he walked in the room, you could tell. His whole face was lit up. He said, guess what? He said, what? He said, I'm free from nicotine. I am free from cigarettes. He said, I'll be honest with you. When you told me to say that, he said, I thought that was stupid. He said, but I'm smoking. I'm already smoking. I might as well try it. He said, so it became a habit. He said, every time I tap one out, I say, thank God I'm free from cigarettes. He said, every time I take a puff, I say, thank God I'm free from cigarettes. He said, I throw one out, light it with another one, say, thank God I am free from cigarettes. He said, I did that for 2 weeks. He said, it became a habit. He said, but then he said, I was standing on a street corner. He said, I threw one out. He said, and I said, thank God. And it hit him. Thank God I am free from cigarettes. He said, I haven't touched another one since. What happened? What happened? He got what the Bible says about him in his heart and in his mouth. I need to find that verse, girl. Y'all looking at me like I made this up. I did not make this up. This is Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Aren't you glad that we don't have to sin? That would have been a great time for a woo. He said, Alan, but I'm already sinning. Alan, I'm already messing up. Yeah, I know it. But how are you going to get out of that? If you keep going, no, Dick, I keep sinning. I'm sorry, God, I keep sinning. I'm just sinning. It's good to repent. It's good to say, Lord, I'm sorry. But then how can we get more proactive on that? No, that was a prompted woo. I know that. With the heart, man believes. With the mouth, confession is made unto. Now, I know people say, well, you know, Alan, I knew some people that confessed weird, wild things. Hey, listen, there's always people that will take things and go off the deep end on it. We had people when I was in Bible school, they would see a girl, and they would just see a girl and say, I claim her, she's going to be my wife. That confession will not work. And if anyone ever comes up to you and says, I've claimed you, that you're going to be my husband, or you're going to be my wife, do not walk, run from that kind of person. Run away. If you don't mind, I'm going to spend a little time on this because it's a key. It's a key to freedom. It's a key to strength. It's a key to a much stronger Christian life because we've got too many believers talking about what they were, how they failed, they're weak, that they can't do it. And we need to get something different in our mouth, in our heart, and in our mouth. We got a lot of things going on. I'll start the story. We'll end it next week. Can you come back next week? Homework assignment. How about this week? You find a verse, maybe a verse that talks about who you are in Christ. Maybe you take that one from Romans 8:2, or you take the one from 1 Peter 2:24. And you just begin to say, thank you, Lord. I'm dead to sin. And I live for righteousness. Now listen, when you first begin to say it, it's going to sound weird. And when you ever look to yourself in the mirror and go, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, and you're everything in you, and the enemy will sit on your shoulder and go, you are a sorry thing lying like that. But you're not saying it because you're perfect. You're saying it because this is what the scriptures have said about you. Remember, John the Baptist said, this is who I am. He went to the scripture. He said, this is who I am. We can take God's word and we can begin to apply it to our life. Now, this is not hard. And we have times we can do it. There are times that, in fact, Joy and I still do it. Both of us still. I have cards that I go over almost daily. And I'm speaking these things. I speak good things over you. I pray over you. and ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you would walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I speak those over you. I pray those over you. Joy, we pray those over you. Why? We believe God can do that. He can give you insight. He can give you wisdom. The eyes of your heart be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards you because you're believers. I pray that you would be strengthened with might by His Spirit in your inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and breadth and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. Say, Alan, how do you know all those verses? Because I've said them over and over and over again to the point where they just come out of me. I don't have to think about them. They're in me. And when these scriptures get in you and you begin to speak them out, then you'll stop talking all the defeat and the despair and the depression and the negativity and all the stuff that has dogged you all your life. And you could realize in Christ Jesus, you can leave free, totally free. You don't have to live with it. It doesn't have to be a part of your life. So just get one verse. So I don't know if I have time to do a bunch of cards. You got time, but just take one. And just begin to thank God. And so it doesn't seem real. It doesn't seem real because you haven't, one, focused on it and spoken into your life. Listen, I know people who have told lies so much, they believe it. You ever met someone like that? Everyone's got a crazy relative that tells stories. You're like, man, that man's lying through his teeth, but you couldn't beat it out of him because he believes it. He's told it so much. Well, if you can tell a lie so much that you can believe it, why don't we tell the truth so much that we believe that? And then we're telling the truth about ourselves. This is a good subject, guys. If you'll stay with me, this will help you. But here's the deal. If you'll do it, it will help you even more. If you just begin to say, man, if you don't know a verse, to take them. Lord, thank you. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Let's pray. Father, for everyone dealing with addictions and everyone dealing with sins that have plagued them and bothered them, I thank you for this word that you're speaking to their hearts tonight, that freedom can come. And for some of them, Father, I know it's the first time they've ever even believed they could be free, even hoped they could be free. But they can be free. For whom the Son is set free is free indeed. And so, Lord, I thank you that you're working in hearts and lives. I thank you, Father, that freedom is available. And I thank you that no weapon formed against them will prosper. And every tongue that rises against them in judgment, that they will condemn it, because you have plans for their life that are good and better than they've even dreamed. So, Lord, I thank you for that. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you came this evening and said, Alan, I don't even know that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not sure. I did it one time and I've gotten away from him, but I want to come back. I need him in my life. Would you pray for me? I will. In fact, we'll all pray for you, but I'm going to ask you to do one thing, just to simply acknowledge that. Say, I want the Lord in my life, or I need him back in my life. Would you just raise your hand just real quick and wave it at me? Say, Alan, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your courage. Thank you. Hands have gone up. Anybody else? Just say, Alan, that's me. Would you wave it at me? Thank you. All right, you can put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you didn't lift your hand, you wanted to, you can still pray this prayer. We pray this prayer out loud for purpose. We believe in our heart. We confess with our mouth. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I am a new creation in Christ because I said yes to you. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer here and online. I thank you, Father, for those who walked out of darkness into light, and Father, walked into an inheritance that you have for them that's glorious. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for the future that they have. We rejoice with them. Lord, thank you We're getting stronger every day. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We give you the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.